Just in time for Veterans Day, the Merit Systems Protection Board has issued fresh guidance for federal managers on the topic of veterans' hiring preferences. Two laws underpin the myriad of veterans' preferences regulations. Sharon Roth, a senior research analyst at the Merit Systems Protection Board, was the project manager of that report, and she joins me now. Sharon, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so why did MSPB undertake this particular report now?
Every few years, we do what we call a research agenda, where we try to identify important topics to address. And both we and our stakeholders felt that veterans was something that needed a little more attention. The laws for veterans hiring can be incredibly complicated, and that can lead to both misunderstandings about rights and sometimes deliberate actions to try to deny a veteran a right. So we just wanted to make it clear to everyone what veterans are entitled to and how they can seek redress if they are denied those entitlements.
So this is aimed at federal managers who might be hiring, or is it aimed primarily at veterans who might seek redress?
It's actually aimed at a number of audiences. Officially, our reports are for the President and Congress of the United States, so we have some material in both of the reports for them about how the laws work and some suggestions about what they can do in the future to help veterans. It's for managers so that they can understand, number one, what the rights are, and number two, this isn't optional. Congress chose to give these rights to veterans, and agencies need to respect those rights. And it's there for veterans as well so that they can understand, wait a minute, something has happened here that isn't fair to me. I do have some place I can go to have my case heard and someone impartial decide whether or not I was denied my entitlements.
That's right. The Congress and the President, I don't want to forget about them. So the report begins by talking about two laws, neither of which are particularly new. One of them goes back to 1998 and one of them goes back to 1994. Review those two laws, their titles, and in the report, you point out that there are slight differences among the aims of those two laws.
Yes. The one from 1994 is called, everyone calls it USERRA. I don't know how many people actually know what it stands for. That's the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act. And that one is designed to make sure that an individual's career is not harmed by their decision to serve the nation in uniform, so that when someone goes off to serve, they leave their civilian position, go off to serve in the military, and come back, they get their job back, as well as any increases that they would have gotten had they been there doing the civilian work. It also protects against discrimination in hiring. So an employer can't say, you know, I don't want to hire someone who might get called up for the Guard. That would just be inconvenient for me. USERRA makes it very clear that's illegal and not allowed. VIOA, on the other hand, is about rewarding veterans for their service. And under VIOA, there are certain preferences and advantages that a veteran receives when competing for a job. Sometimes it's the ability to compete for a job when many U.S. citizens aren't even allowed to compete. Sometimes it's preference over other competitors. Sometimes it's retention standing, a higher retention standing in a RIF. So the laws serve slightly different purposes. One is to reward, and the other one is to protect. And the means by which a person seeks redress, meaning they go and say, wait a minute, I didn't get my rights, differs between those two laws. And that's one of the things we want people to get from this new report we just issued on Thursday. There's very strict rules for how to seek that redress, and it's very important that the veteran follow those rules, because the board could be what we call deprived of its jurisdiction, meaning we won't be allowed to help if certain steps haven't been taken before the person comes to the board.
So, for example, if they wait too long or if they go somewhere else first, that type of thing?
Exactly. That's particularly true for VIOA. VIOA has incredibly strict deadlines that come from the law. It's in statute. We don't have any flexibility on that. The person must go to the Department of Labor first for a VIOA claim, and they must go within 60 days. After they have gone to DOL, if DOL is unable to resolve the problem, then they have 15 days after receiving that letter from DOL in which to come to the board. And USERRA is different. USERRA does not require the person to go to the Department of Labor. So it's just important. There are other differences as well. We actually have a little table in our report highlighting the differences between the two to help people keep it straight. But it's just important that they identify the right law and follow the rules for that law.
And we should point out VIOA is the Veterans Employment Opportunities Act of 1998.
Yes.
So we have VIOA and USERRA. But there's also a lot of regulation that has developed around these. And is that possibly what makes it complicated for federal hiring managers?
There's a lot of regulations that have developed. That can make it challenging, particularly for VIOA, because VIOA applies to any right that the veteran has. So it's not just, you know, oh, it used to be, you know, people thought you get veterans get extra points when being selected, and that's it. But it's actually how they're handled under something called category rating. It's whether or not they're entitled to consideration when an agency recruits outside its own workforce. And for different kinds of hiring, the preference takes a different form. So it's different for competitive versus accepted service. Within the competitive service, it's different for certain occupations than it is for other occupations, particularly those that are professional and have an educational requirement. So it can be very complicated. But these rights are there for a reason. These veterans risk their lives. They put their lives on hold in order to serve the country, and this is one of the ways in which Congress wanted to recognize those sacrifices. So even though sometimes managers might find it a little complicated to follow all those rules, it's still very important that they do so.
We're speaking with Sharon Roth. She's Senior Research Analyst at the Merit Systems Protection Board in the Office of Policy and Evaluation. And so just give us a sense of how many cases of veterans' preference redress come up to the MSPB every year. How widespread is this with respect to federal hiring?
It varies greatly, and I can't give you specifically with respect to federal hiring because we don't flag our VO cases in our database based on hiring versus non-hiring. Last year we had about 200 that were VOA cases and about 200 that were USERRA cases. But it's important to recognize the claim can also come up in a different kind of case. For example, a removal case. A person can assert as an affirmative defense that one of the reasons why they were removed was their veteran status. It also can vary greatly by year. Several years ago, there was a situation that developed involving veterans and their military leave, and agencies, it turned out, were interpreting the rules incorrectly. And we had a large number of cases just in a huge burst all at once. They were called butterball cases after the leave case to help agencies work through all of the claims in which it turns out they hadn't given people their leave. So what's really important isn't just the number in any particular year. It's that veterans understand that they do have that right, because the ideal situation isn't that the board tell an agency, oh, you did something wrong, fix it. The ideal situation is that the agency comply all along, or as soon as they find out there's a problem, they fix it so it never has to come to the board.
It sounds like managers need to do a lot of research before they hire someone or before they issue a reduction in force or even fire somebody. They have to really consult with all of the architectures around veterans first.
Yes, and that's where the human resources specialists come in. It's very important that the specialists are educated about the veterans' rights and that they share that information with managers. We have an upcoming report soon called about fair and open competition, and one of the things that report does discuss is the extent to which HR consults with management about veterans' rights.
But is it fair to say, or is it correct to say, that veterans always have a preference in competitive hires, or are there situations where they don't, or where you're free to do whatever is the best candidate?
Well, the term competitive hire right there is part of the challenge. Do you mean competitive examining, or do you mean a hiring process in which there's competition? Competitive examining is a term of art. They do not always, but they often have preference in competitive examining. In a competitive process, it's a little bit different, and it varies by that process.
Okay, well, I'm glad I'm not in charge of doing that.
Well, that's why we issued a report back in August. The report back in August talks about all the different ways in which veterans can have preferences. And we didn't hit on every single way, but we hit on all the big ones. So what I would suggest for your audience is if they're interested in hiring preferences for veterans, that they consult that August report, because it talks about, you know, well, what if it's a Title 38 position in VA for medical? Well, what if it's an attorney? Well, what if it's a professional occupation at a certain grade level? So that's all there in the August report, and there's a reason why it's a whole report and can't really be handled in a five-minute interview.
No, sure. So basically what happens for each situation, each action, hiring or some other kind of employment or, action, there's a logic tree that branches off of that that is applicable to that particular situation that you need to really understand.
Exactly, yes. And it's going to be very specific to the situation, which is why it's so important to consult with VHR experts.
And how much cooperation or help or aid does the Merit Systems Protection Board get from OPM? Does OPM have classes or online training in this these complexities for federal managers?
Well, what OPM has is something called the Vet Guide that explains to the public at large exactly what all of the rules are. They also have their own regulations. They do the education in a lot of different ways, and I don't really want to speak for OPM on that. But they do have something called HR University, which is designed to do some web-based education for specifically HR people. So there's a lot of different places where people might be able to find those resources. I would suggest going to OPM and asking them specifically what they provide.
Yeah, I guess my point was that you talk to OPM and they talk to you, and there's some kind of process by which this information gets...
When we do a report, we have the option of asking OPM for information, and we ask them some questions about veterans. We did not specifically ask them for a list of all training they gave, so it wouldn't really be fair for me to try to describe it, I think.
Well, we'll get them on to describe what they do. I just wanted to make sure that you guys are talking with one another. So this new report is out now, and what do you hope will be the effect of it?
What we hope is that we hope that veterans' rights will be respected and the board's adjudication will essentially be nearly unnecessary to the process. But we hope that everyone will understand these veterans do have rights. They're very important. They were given for a reason. They need to be respected. And if for any reason a veteran feels that they haven't been, that there is some place they can go to get help.
All right. Sharon Roth is Senior Research Analyst at the Merit Systems Protection Board, and she was the project manager of this latest report. Sharon, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you.